Well, good morning, church. We're glad to bring the Word of God to you today. We are continuing our series, You Are Here. You Are Here. Well, let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God. Father, we thank you today that the Word is anointed, that the message from your Bible is anointed to create faith in us. For the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of our Christ, our Messiah. And so we open up our hearts today to receive the faith that you want to create in us through this word, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking about being seated in heavenly places. And we've this is our third message along this line. And the first message had to do with being seated in a position of rest. We declared that you are seated in a position of rest, resting from your own work, resting from your own efforts to please God. Second week, we talked about being seated in favor, seated in the highest place of favor. And that was last Sunday's message. We talked about being at the Father's right hand and how that was a symbolic place in the Bible of being in the place of favor. It was a symbol of being in the most favored spot. The right hand was used when blessing the firstborn children. The father would place his right hand upon their head as a means of blessing that child and declaring over them all the great things God was going to do. So the right hand of the Father represents a place of favor. Today we're going to talk about being seated in dominion. Seated in total dominion. Let's start today in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll read through verse 23. This is a powerful, powerful passage where Paul prays for the church. He says in verse 18 of chapter 1, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power. Notice there's three things there that Paul wants the church to know by revelation. Number one, hope. Number two, riches. And number three, great power for us who believe. And he goes on, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above, verse 21 says, all rule, and I hope if you have your pen or highlighter out, you're circling these little words, they're so powerful, not just some of the rule of the devil, but all the rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed, verse 22, all things, I hope you'll circle that word all, it's very important, under the feet of Jesus, and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You might say it, the fullness of him here on earth, because Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, but the church is the fullness, is meant to express the fullness of him who is in heaven here on earth. So it says here in this passage that Jesus has been exalted to a place of total dominion. This is not just nice Bible talk. This is powerful, powerful truth about how high God raised and elevated his son Jesus after his resurrection. We could say in summing it up that Jesus is in a position at the Father's right hand of total dominion. Dominion. And you know, when you're talking about sports, sometimes a really great basketball player will be described in this fashion. They'll say, well, he dominates the court. He dominates the ball court. And that means that no one can get around him. No one can outplay him. No one can fool him. And he totally reigns when he's out there playing ball. There are certain historic facts in Christ into which all of us who have believed have entered. And these historic facts include, number one, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When you and I placed our faith in the gospel message that we heard, we partook of the historic spiritual facts that happened to Jesus in a real way in our spirit. Immediately, all three of those things came into play in our life. We were dead, buried, and yet resurrected with Jesus. And not only resurrected, but ascended. ascended. So we, when we believe in Christ, we become partakers of these facts about Jesus that happened to him. They actually happen to us in a spiritual sense, in a very real experience. The death of our old nature, the burial, in other words, the forgetting, the putting away forever, the memory of our old life, and then the resurrection, the coming forth of our new man. And then where does he go from there? He is ascended, just like Jesus. Jesus didn't just rise from the dead and then walk around and keep preaching in Israel. No, he actually flew up to heaven. He was taken, received, and ascended up into heaven to the highest place of authority and dominion. You and I were designed, we were created to rule. You've seen t-shirts that say something like, "Girls Rule," or "Dodge Trucks Rule," or whatever. You've seen or heard someone say something to the effect of, "So-and-so just got owned." That means they just got dominated over in either an athletic event or some sort of contest. Well, Jesus rose triumphant. He conquered all of the devil's powers, all evil spirits, and he has positioned us to sit with him in this restored condition of dominion. You know, it's the church that's supposed to be running the planet, not the devil, not the demons in the spirit realm, and not the ungodly heathen who don't know the Lord or how to run things, but the church, the raised believers, raised from the dead, reigning in power by faith in Jesus. Those people are the ones that are supposed to be reigning here on the earth. God has ordained it. You know, the earth's purpose originally was to be a colony of heaven. If you look at the intent of God, a colony is an extension of rulership. It's an extension of rulership to another territory. You know, a long time ago, India was ruled as a colony of Britain. And the intent in a colony is to impart the ideals, the attributes of the homeland to that foreign land. That's what Earth was created to be. Earth was created as a visible realm to replicate and mirror the invisible realm called heaven. God then created spirit children in his likeness, possessing his character, a creature called man, who is unlike any other. He was in a unique God class, if you will. He was God's kingly representative, his acting agent for this physical kingdom we call earth. And we see God's purpose in putting man on the earth found in Genesis chapter 1. Why don't you turn to Genesis chapter 1 there in your Bibles? And in one verse, God sums up his total intent for man as his ruling agent here on earth. Look what it says there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to read it in the King James. It says, God said, let us. Notice he's talking amongst himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. First of all, I want you to see that man was created for dominion. Man was created, and it says there that God created him after his likeness to have dominion. Dominion. What is the purpose of man? Dominion. Dominion. This is why before men come to know Jesus, they're inherently driven, or we might say they're power hungry. It's innate in the human race to reign, to rule, to dominate, that whether it be male or female. They just do it differently. Men usually exert outward power. Women have persuasive power, you might say. But he says here, let them, notice that God said, let them, let mankind have dominion. In other words, God did not put man here on the earth and then decide to reign over man. No, he said, I'm putting here on earth man as the agent to rule earth. Let him have dominion on the earth. That was God's original intent. He said he will have dominion over fish, birds, cattle, all of the earth, its resources, and upon creeps, by the way. Man is meant to have dominion over creeps. But notice he did not specify or allow for man to have dominion over other men. Mankind was never meant to be ruled over by from another man. He was meant to have God as his ruler, first of all, and then be free to rule under God's direction. You might say that man was given a dominion mandate, or call. And the bar of man's success in this God-given assignment is seen in the expression of his rulership on earth. Well, it didn't take very long at all for man to stumble over himself and fail. And so we have from Genesis to the book of Malachi the history of the failure of man to effectively dominate and rule as God intended him to rule the earth. In fact, by the book of Daniel, which is near the end of the Old Testament, by chapter 10, we have an interesting story where Daniel is praying and seeking God. And an angel comes to him in a vision. He says, in a sense, he says in Daniel chapter 10, I would have got here sooner, but... And in effect, he goes on to describe how this prince of Persia, he's not talking about a human prince in a... Line of royalty. No, he's talking about a spiritual prince, a ruler, ruling spirit over Persia, withstood this angel. And it took Michael, the warring angel from heaven, to come and give him support in order for him to get this message through to Daniel. So we see by the book of Daniel that there are definitely demonic spirits ruling the earth. And that's been the history ever since the fall of man, that the devil and his angels have ruled as subjugators, or you might say they were squatters. They tricked man into the fall, and then they, by that very act, they became the man handed the lease over, if you will, to the spirits of darkness to rule the earth. In fact, when Jesus arrives, by Luke chapter 4, I've shared this before, and it's an interesting point. Satan, when he's tempting Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he makes this comment. He says, all of these kingdoms and their splendor I will give you if you will worship me, because it has been delivered to me. It has been delivered to me. And that was a true statement. Man had, in a sense, handed the whole lease, the whole dominion and rulership potential over the earth to the devil when he allowed him to seduce him into sin. And Satan had rights to it. He became the God, little g, of this world because man surrendered his rulership to the devil. But Jesus, aren't you glad? Jesus comes along and he defeats Satan at the cross. And as he's about to ascend into heaven, he makes these remarks in Matthew chapter 28. Look at Matthew 28. The final verses of that book record these words in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, there's that word again, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Jesus, in a sense, says, I've got it all back. Everything that man originally had, his rightful dominion given to him by God, his creator, that Satan stole through trickery, I've gained it back through my death on the cross, my resurrection, and it's been given to me. Now you go. You might say, if Nike was writing this verse, they would simply say, do it. You go. You go do the work, Jesus said. In other words, man, you now have restored dominion. You now have restored authority. You've got a job to do. You've got a race to run. You've got a work to complete. Now it's time to go and do it. And he, of course, in the book of Acts chapter 2, he empowered them through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to go and literally do what he had been teaching them for 3.5 years to do, and that is cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Well, I want to just conclude by saying this. Wherever your station in life is, you're called to dominion. In your home, over your pets, your kids, your own health, your job, wherever God's opened a door for you in the work world, in your personal destiny, those are areas that God has called you and I to reign in, to rule in. And he has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to do so. But it begins in our own heart. We can't rule outwardly until we allow his rulership inwardly in us. That's what Romans 14:17 describes when it says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those things are all attributes and characteristics that take place within the heart of man to begin with. In other words, the rulership of God begins when we step into the righteousness of Jesus. Once we embrace that and accept it by faith, then we begin to experience his peace. And the result of peace, the natural outflow of peace, is simply joy. Joy is not having a nice new car, a this or a that. Joy is the result of peace in the heart. You and I are called to a place of total victory over sin, sickness, and every bondage. And it simply comes through surrender, saints. This is not Jesus calling us to defeat these foes in our life, but resting, but being seated in by faith, that place of his dominion over those foes. See, Jesus, when he rose out of that grave and ascended to heaven, God exalted him to a place of total victory. And when we begin to see that by reading verses like this in Ephesians chapter 1, we begin to see it with our spirit eyes of faith and we begin to believe it. Jesus is there. I am there. He is reigning over all. I am reigning over all. Just as you begin to accept that by faith, you will see your life begin to be victorious in every arena. Again, this is not you reigning by doing, but resting in what he has done. As Romans 8:3 declares, what the law was powerless to do, you might say through man's efforts to keep the law, God did through Jesus. That's Romans 8, verse 3. What the law was powerless to do, God did through Jesus. He beat them all, saints. He beat every enemy in our life. You name it. Whether you're addicted to some sort of physical addiction of any kind of substance abuse, any kind of addiction in the heart, any weakness in an area of just being broken, no matter what it is, Jesus has defeated every foe in your life and every foe in my life. And we simply enter into that dominion, that restored dominion that God intended for Adam and for his church now. We enter into it by surrendering and by believing. Surrender is one of the most powerful actions of man. It's one of the most powerful things on earth that can be done in the human heart is to say yes to Jesus, to simply believe on Jesus. That very act of trust and surrender puts us in a position to reign over every foe, to reign over every evil, to reign over every addiction that has ruled and dominated our life, to reign over an uncontrollable temper, to reign over a bad attitude, to reign over time mismanagement, whatever it is. Every area of your life that needs to be dominated, that needs to be regained, can be put under subjection by you simply surrendering to God and to his victory through Christ Jesus. It's a place of trust. There's places all throughout the Bible that say, in effect, no man who puts his trust in the Lord will be put to shame, will ever be put to shame. Why don't we read a few more verses as we close out today? Just let the word wash over you in this idea. Revelation chapter 1 and verses 4 through 6. Revelation 1 and verse 4 says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and was to come, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Who is that? It's the church. It's you and I. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us, verse 6 says, he has made us. See, we're not self-made people. People without Jesus talk about being a self-made man. We're not self-made men or women. We are people who have been made, the Bible says, to be kingdom and priest, to serve his God and Father, To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. He has made us to be kings. That's powerful. A powerful confession. You should say that every day over your life. He has made me to be a king to serve my God. Hallelujah. He has made you to be a king, saints. Colossians 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, 13 says this. And you, being dead in your sins, or one translation says, when you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code, that's talking about the law, with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15 says this, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Saints, your enemy, the enemy of your life, has not just been defeated. He hasn't just lost. He's been humiliated. Jesus, you might say, has rubbed his nose in it. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how or when that actually took place. But it says here, by the cross. By the cross, he triumphed over them, and he made a public spectacle of them. I'd love to see that movie. I can't wait till when we get to heaven to watch that film that happened in the spirit realm where Jesus actually humiliated and tormented his tormentors, the devil and his angels. One final verse in Matthew 13:12 says this. Matthew 13:12. The Holy Spirit brought this out as a principle last year. It's an unusual verse, kind of difficult to understand at first sight, but he began to give us revelation as a church on it in 2019, and I shared this with you. Matthew 13:12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. You know, the devil's always trying to convince us that we hath not. And whatever degree that you believe you don't have whatever you're wanting in your life, that's the area that the devil can steal from you in. That's what Jesus is saying here. But to him who has, see, it's all how you view it. Do you see yourself as reigning over your enemies, over the devil? Do you see yourself seated in that heavenly place over all authority and dominion? That's where you sit in reality. As you see it and say it, you say, I have this. I am seated above all evil spirits. I am seated above all addictions. I am seated above all weaknesses, above all disease and sickness. As you begin to see yourself there and begin to say it, then the scripture says here, you will have it and more will be given to you. Because it's as you give thanks for what you do have. See, you got to start right where you're at. Start exactly where you're at. Just wake up tomorrow and say, I reign in life. I reign over all. I dominate my world in Christ Jesus because Jesus has seated me there at the Father's right hand in a place of dominion. I am seated there with Jesus. I am seated above all, the scripture says. Go back and read Ephesians 1, verse 18 through 23. Read it slowly and realize that everything that it's talking about there about Jesus is true of you. If he is reigning over all, you too are reigning over all. If he has been given all authority over every power and every name, you too have been given all authority. This is why you can walk into a situation, and when evil spirits have been ruling in that arena, and you're trying to get something done, you're trying to get a job accomplished, you're trying to get a task completed, you're trying to get a decision to be made in favor of the kingdom of God, and there's a principality ruling there, ruling people. We don't war against people, but we rule against the spirits that are driving people. You can take authority. Under your breath, you can say, I reign over all. I am seated above all. I reign. I dominate. All principalities are under my feet because I am there in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And as you begin to believe it and confess it and say it, you will see authorities and principalities be made subject to you as you walk into different arenas in life. It's there for our saints. Adam's original call was to take dominion over the earth, to have dominion. Jesus came and he restored that power, that authority to us, his church. And he has caused us to reign, the Bible says, over all authority. Well, that's where He's seated us. He has seated us in a place of dominion. I want to encourage you today to reaffirm the Lordship of Jesus in your life. Simply say, Jesus, I believe You died. I believe You were buried. You rose on the third day. You ascended to heaven, to the highest position of authority, to the highest position of favor, and to a place of rest. And there You took me before I was even born. In the Spirit, You took me there. And when I place my faith in You, I too rise to that place of dominion over all powers in my life. Thank You, Jesus. I surrender my life to You. You alone are Lord. You are the ruler of all, and I submit to You. I surrender to You, Jesus. Well, I hope you surrendered afresh to Him today, and allow every area of your life, listen, where the devil's harassed you, where addictions have plagued you, where weakness has dogged you, surrender that thing to Jesus. See it defeated by Him, not you. We're not called to overcome. We're simply called to believe in His overcoming that happened at the cross. Receive it, believe in it today, and you'll begin to reign over every situation in life. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon.